This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad to be here with you this morning. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester. It is a Monday. We're getting you ready for the week. And we got to start off by saying that we're thinking about and praying for the folks in Grinnell and Plevna here this morning, as both of those towns were hit hard by tornadoes yesterday in a pretty dangerous and destructive outbreak. Missed the Wichita area, but it did not miss everybody. And it got those two towns, so we're thinking about them, all our folks up there that might know people up there or are headed up there to help. We're thinking about all you guys. So we start the week here in Sports Daily, though, with a busy slate. We've got all kinds of stuff. The Royals, a tough weekend for the Royals. They salvage a disastrous weekend, but a tough weekend nonetheless. We'll get into their current situation and how things are going. We'll look at the NHL and the NBA playoffs a little bit. Scottie Scheffler gets another major win. We'll get Tommy's take on that, our golf guy. And what just exactly what that means, all kinds of other storylines bouncing around here. Programming note, we should have Paul Mills on tomorrow morning. He is ready. He's going to do a big media briefing later in the day to talk about this class. I think everything's official now, so they're trying to get that out there and let everybody know about these new players, and we'll have him on even before that tomorrow morning, bright and early. So set your timer to that, Shocker fans, and we'll hear from Coach Mills himself on how all this is coming together. But here we are. Happy Monday, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, it was good. Good weekend. You know, looking forward to getting into everything today. I feel like they're, you know, it was a pretty impactful weekend. You mentioned the Royals, but of course the NBA playoffs, which are the Oklahoma City Thunder move on in seven games. They absolutely dismantle the Nuggets. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously a lot going on in NHL playoffs. There's a lot to get to today on the show.
There is, and we will, and it's a little groggy here this morning, so we're glad we have Prairie Fire Coffee. I'm sure a lot of us were watching the storms last night, just making sure that whatever happened, but the one that got Plevna was up very, very late, after 1 a.m., I think. So here we go again today. Make sure you've got your Storm Team 12 app and everything handy for you to get alerts in case you are in bed or whatever it is, and keep it tuned to all the Odyssey family of stations now with a partnership coming up here pretty soon with Storm Team 12. We're glad to have those resources out there here in what, about a week and a half, Tommy, for that. So that'll be good. That'll be nice too. Our guy Rodney Price out there chasing the storms. He arrived there on Plevna, one of the first on scene there. Late tonight, you hear him all the time here on Odyssey, KNSS, and some other stations as well.
Yeah, KNSS, obviously, from a radio perspective, will provide any kind of coverage for the Wichita Metro. So if we've got bad weather coming in, you know, the entire crew over there on KNSS and, you know, all the folks that are involved with that, will keep everybody apprised of whatever's happening.
All right, let's set the table for the Royals here. Tommy, because it was a bad weekend. We'll dig into the baseball itself, but just right off the top, if you missed it, it was a very busy weekend. We get it. Congrats to all our graduates out there. The Royals sent both Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans to the IL. Now, Noah Cameron alleviated the first part of that very well. I joked with Tommy. I said, we didn't realize he was Tom Glavine, apparently, because he's in two starts now. He's been very, very good. But Noah Cameron will help, so that's good. They'll just have to adjust here. Look, we've said this a billion times, and we'll get into it in the next segment. This is why. These are the reasons. These are the things that make the struggles of the offense more concerning. Yes, the starting pitching has been otherworldly, but to ask it to do what it's done for the entirety of a season is you know, I hope that it happens, but that's not a good way to plan for things, certainly. We have the Royals, and they're going to throw Avila, a guy I have not heard of. Luinder Avila is going to get the start in the Giants finale. Noah Cameron, we've now seen a couple times, but here we go, Tommy. Like, these are the things that you need the offense to be able to pick up the pitching. You know, your two co-aces are concurrently on the IL. Like, you're going to have to pick up the slack there. They go into a series with the Cardinals at home, and they score 5 runs over 3 games. It's like rinse, wash, repeat. We saw Jack Caglione over the weekend get called up to AAA. That's his next step. Who knows if he'll be up in time to help, and who knows what position he'll be able to help at. But, you know, the Royals they're kind of up against it right now, as they've lost 6 out of their last 9, I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think Noah Cameron, you know, gives you at least, some firepower in relief of, you know, one of those guys in the rotation for sure. But I think there are, you know, more questions than answers right now about what the Royals, what their game plan is going to end up being, with the rotation. And how long are we looking at a potential absence from really primarily Cole Reagans? I think Seth Lugo, I'm not sure that that's a long injury, a long stint on the IL. I know that he's got some finger inflammation and all of that. You know, you would think, or you would at least hope that Lugo will be back sooner rather than later. But with Reagans, that's a groin, you know, and that's something that can, you know, take a while to get back from. You know, can be an injury that could be nagging for a period of time. And so I wonder if you've got, you know, Lugo coming back relatively quickly, if they can then just fill that other hole with Noah Cameron moving forward until Reagans is ready to come back.
I think the reality is, like, I think they'll be okay pitching, but that's not their issue anyway, right? They're in fourth place right now. They have scored more runs than one team in the American League, and it's the White Sox, and it's barely. This offense is not going to be good enough in this division. It's not going to be good enough. They've beaten up on a lot of really bad teams, and they have not against average to good teams. It won't be good enough. So what can they do? Like, that's, and the pitching's going to amplify it. I hope that these guys can fill in, and probably, honestly, I think that they can. Like, I think these guys going to the IL, if they're both minimum stays, isn't going to be that big a deal. I think, especially with Noah Cameron doing what he's doing, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine versus I think they'll hold every opponent to 2 runs a game are 2 different things. That's not sustainable. So, like, It's a really good thing. They have a pitching staff that is capable of taking them to a World Series. I don't have any doubts about that. They absolutely, right now, on May 19th, almost 50 games into the season, do not have an offense that's capable of taking them to the World Series. I mean, that's the reality that we live in right now with the Royals. And it's only May 19th, and we keep saying it's too early to do something. But when you're in fourth place in a division that looks really good, is it ever too early to do something? Because I don't think it is. And I've been saying that for a week, but man, like how many series
you've been watching? You've been saying that for like a month. And then look, I get it. I'm not saying that you're wrong by any means about what the Royals should be doing or shouldn't be doing. I think the major thing about it, in my opinion, is that what you can always go and make a move. Like, you know, JJ Piccolo can start working the phones today and can probably find some kind of trade partner for something. But the asking price is going to be a whole lot higher on May 19th than it will be on July 19th for whoever it is
That's right.
You're going to go and talk to. And so you've got to balance that. You've got to balance the pressing current needs right now with what you're potentially going to be giving up to make something like that happen.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the games themselves this weekend. We'll get into it. We'll go Royals heavy here off the top today on Sports Daily. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Monday. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Tommy Caster. We're talking Royals. Tough weekend. 5 runs in the 3 games against the Cardinals. Cardinals had been playing well. You salvaged the series, though, yesterday. Drew Waters with a big hit. Let me start here, Tom. The Royals, and you're right, I have been saying this for a month. It would be okay if I did, like, I think this division race is going to be really, really, really difficult all the way through, like, starting a while ago. And I don't think their schedule is going to be like right now, they've been taking advantage of the parts of the schedule that they need to be taking advantage of. But as it's turned over here, the last three series, they've lost all three series, and it gets harder. Like, it gets more difficult over the next month or so. And I haven't even looked at July yet, but June is a monster. And so that's where the concern is for me, like that this thing, until they have time to get whatever it is that they're going to do together, that in this division, they're going to fall too far behind. Like, we're looking right now and they're 5.5 games back, and they're in fourth place in the AL Central right now. So that to me is what has been sticking in my, and I was, you know, it was before Minnesota even got hot. It's like, man, this division's going to be really good. They're going to have a hard time. So just to take us back, and look, it's not the front office's fault. Let me say that as well. Like, we're brainstorming constantly here on the show of things they can do. It's not their fault. It's the players' fault. Like, the players have to hit. They have a good enough on paper lineup. You before the season said they needed a corner outfield bat. That was correct, but it's been much more than that, right? Like, the offense is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So first and foremost, it's on the players. Just so I just don't want anybody to think I'm like mad at JJ Piccolo. I'm not at all. I think there's some urgency needed there. So they ran out the typical lineup in two of the games, and then yesterday they changed it up again. And they hit Salvi third. Vinny hit, what was it, sixth? Yeah, sixth. They moved Canna up. They tried to break him up. Salvi and Vinny actually had some hits yesterday, right? Like, they were at least doing a little something at the plate, but it still wasn't enough. So, I don't know. I feel like they're slumping. I feel like they just need to snap out of it. I do think at some point the offense wakes up a little bit. But, man, I don't know how much more. Because, we're like 50 games into this season, and they are basically the worst offense in the American League. And it's not particularly close right now. They've got to, like, I don't think it's too crazy to be overly aggressive now. I mean, if you're the Royals and you think you should be a postseason team, because I don't know that you can run this pitching back either, right? Like, they were able to run this rotation back and keep a lot of these guys. I don't know if that's going to happen again. So I'm a little, like, I think there is some urgency with this team this year, for sure.
I think there is too, because on paper, you've got a fairly complete team, I mean, especially from a pitching perspective. And when healthy, they're one of the best pitching staffs in all of Major League Baseball. There are clear deficiencies in the lineup, and there have been since day one. I mean, as soon as we kind of knew what this team was going to look like offensively, I remember saying, I don't think that's enough. I think that they need more. And really, the Royals have tried to make work what they have currently on their roster. And it hasn't panned out, especially from an outfield position, especially when you've got guys that are slumping that typically don't slump and that you have to rely on to be run producers, and they're not really able to do that. You know, it's pretty sad. At one point in the game yesterday, I believe it was in the fourth inning, Burleson for the Cardinals hit a solo shot, and it was a 1-0 game. And I'm like, well, there goes the ball game. It was a 1-0 game in the fourth inning. And ultimately, the Royals were able to make it work. And Drew Waters had a triple. And Michael Garcia drove him in. And that, you know, was all she wrote. But it's pretty terrifying when an opponent gets out to even a 1-0 lead. And you're like, man, I'm not sure how the Royals are going to be able to generate runs. And they're down 1-0. And the game isn't even halfway over yet. There's a name that hasn't been brought up, at least on this program, and I'm not sure really if it's been talked about much at all. If you need a scapegoat, and I have no idea if this is fair, unfair, whatever, but if you need a scapegoat for all of this and something to maybe wake the team up, Alex Zumwalt is the hitting coach on this team. And we've seen it happen multiple times before. Rangers, in fact, it happened this year with the Rangers. They fired their hitting coach early on in the season when they were not producing. Now, I don't know. You follow the Rangers more closely than I do. I don't know if they've been able to turn it around offensively at all.
Not particular. They've been picking it up. They've had a bunch of injuries. But no, they've also been one of the more disappointing offenses in the league, for sure.
And sometimes that sort of thing happens. Sometimes you might need a fall guy. You might need somebody to fall on the sword to wake up the players. And you said it fully falls on the players. And you know what it does? They're the ones that are out there executing or not executing. But you do have a guy whose sole purpose on this team is to be the hitting coach and to develop these hitters and to make sure that they're putting themselves in great situations. I'm not sure if Alex Zumwalt has been able to do that or not this season. Probably not. And so if you need a fall guy, if you need something to try to, you know, shake things up or wake the team up, that might be an avenue to take a look at.
I think you could think about it. That's a hard one. I mean, it would be on the table for me. Those are things you got to have a little closer connection than you are. We could ask Jalen Thompson that, who's around him every day, to kind of see what that might shake up. So I that's the kind of stuff you have to look at, right? And I don't want anybody to lose their job or anything like that, but yeah, the team has to wake up offensively. Like, they just have to, or it's not going to work. The good news for them, is the Cleveland is also struggling right now. So that's helpful. But honestly, we keep looking at the AL Central, and I think that more than anything just tells you there will be fewer chances for, you know, to play bad teams or whatever, but really kind of everybody in the American League's pretty good, right? Like, if you look right now, the Yankees will be a contender. The Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Rays will all probably stay contenders and competitive and relevant in at least the wild card chase. Obviously, Detroit is, who I believe, yeah, they're still holding on to their grasp, is the best team in baseball this year, if you're not paying attention. Minnesota and Cleveland certainly will be in it. Kansas City will obviously be in it. But so will Seattle, Houston, Texas, and maybe even the A's. Like, there are really, like, right now, Baltimore looks like they're not going to be able to get it turned around. Like, I don't know what's going on there. That's the strangest story in baseball to me. But Baltimore, Chicago, and probably the Angels aren't for real. Everybody else is going to be competitive in a wild card for a while. So, and at least for a month. So if you're looking at, like, trade candidates right now, the trade candidates that are there are the trade candidates. Like, I don't know how much they're going to change because everybody's going to kind of be in it. Like, it'll be a good year to be a seller because everybody's kind of in it. Go to the National League, it's a little more, you know, cut out. Pittsburgh's not going to contend. Colorado, obviously. Miami is not. Washington might not, but Washington's not going to be a seller. They're chock full of loaded with great young talent and everything else. I doubt they do much. So I just don't think there's going to be a lot of candidates to make a trade anyway. So if that's the path you're going, I don't think the market's going to change much over the next month.
But by that logic, I mean, you say that it's a good time to be a seller. I mean, that means that, and I don't disagree with you. I think you're right on that being a seller is more advantageous with the market this year than in other years. That just means that the asking price is going to be even higher. It just means that there's going to be probably even more competition
now than it will be in a month.
I think so. I think it will be, because I think that the teams that are selling, you know, take a look at a team like Colorado, for example. What do they have to lose by holding on to their guys for another month?
Sure.
Right. Like, I think that they can ask for the world in return for whoever it is on their roster. I mean, and I'm not even just talking about the situation with the Royals and what the Royals might want to do. I'm just talking about anybody in general, right, that might be looking at trading right now. The Rockies can ask for whatever they want and say, I mean, look, the price is the price. If you want this guy right now, great. This is what it's going to take. If not, we'll still be here. We're going to hang out and we'll just see how the market unfolds and develops. I mean, I think that it is going to be, and it currently is, a seller's market in Major League Baseball. But there are two teams. Like, so if the Royals feel like they need to be uber aggressive right now, side note, JJ Piccolo has never struck me as that kind of guy that is going to be uber aggressive / panicked to go out and make trades like in the middle of May. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. But let's just say for this exercise, he does and decides that he wants to do that. There are two teams, the Rockies and the Orioles, that I think you could probably call right now. And if you absolutely had to, get a deal done. I mean, take a look at the Orioles, for example, probably the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball. And they are chock full of outfielders. They just fired Brandon Hyde. They've got a handful of guys that if they're going to be sellers, that they could move. Like, you know, we've talked about him before, but like Cedric Mullins could be a guy that you could pick up the phone and call and give you instant production right now. Do I think JJ Piccolo will do that? No, I don't. But if he did, those would be the two teams that I would look at. Two teams that have already fired their managers that are clearly, you know, out of it and not going to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for Piccolo when he pulled the trigger on, Was Harvey the first one? No, it wasn't.
No,
it
Harvey. I think Harvey was the first one, and that was like 2 weeks before the trade deadline or 3 weeks before the trade deadline last year. It wasn't like it was in May. I mean, we're talking like middle of July, like around the All-Star break.
Yeah, I have Ursig into July, and I think that's right. I think he was right at the beginning of July, and Ursig was at the end of July, and we really
It was July 13th that the Royals traded for Hunter Harvey. So we're talking All-Star break.
I don't know that they can wait 2 months to do something.
I just don't think there might be other things that they do. You know, for instance, they move up Jack Caglione to AAA. I think that's a more likely scenario than JJ Piccolo going and making a trade in the month of May.
Well, and I think it's a better option too. I think sometimes you have to be careful with being willing to trade quality assets to fix a problem, especially when you're a team like the Royals. I'm not ignorant to the fact that the Royals have to be more careful than a lot of teams do. So, like Noah Cameron, if he has a bunch of good starts, are great. And I've said this before, there's a trade asset potentially, right? Well, you've got, you know, starting pitchers who pushed themselves last year to innings limits and all these things. Now you need Noah Cameron. So you've got to be careful there too. You'd have to bring it. Like if you're going to give up pieces that could help this franchise down the road, it has to be for, no doubt about it, controllable players. And I think that the problem is going to become that those types of pieces, A, are not really available because these teams that are bad don't really have them. And B, and they're going to be really expensive if they do. Like they'll have bullpen arms everybody's interested in. The Royals shouldn't need that. They should need a bat. So they're not going to, in my opinion, go out there and find any bat on the market that is realistic for them to acquire that will be better than Jack Caglione. They're not. I don't think. More impactful, potentially, any of that. He may come up and you may have to deal with the fact that he's a rookie. And okay, right? Because I'd rather deal with watching him like learn the ropes and struggle a little bit than Renfro, for instance, or an older guy where it's like, what are we good? Like, what's going to come? Like, what are we waiting for now at this point? So, and if they refuse to put him in the outfield for whatever reason, to hell with it. Just bring him up and let him hit 3 days a week. I don't care what it is. Let Vinny go play left field, see if he can handle it. You know, let Salvi catch a little more. Like whatever it is, there. Like we've seen this now for the entire. We've seen it for 50 games that this offense is not going to be good enough, and I don't think it magically is. And I don't think that the pieces out there are going to line up with what the Royals even want to do in the first place. So we saw Jack Caglione called up to AAA, and like that's the piece we got to watch. I don't know if anybody else in the minor leagues is hitting right now. Quite frankly, I have no idea. I haven't looked at like what Omaha's up to, but that's got to be the move, and they've got to do everything they can over the. And I don't know how much longer. Like, give him 2 weeks in AAA, and if he hits like he's hitting in AA, like that's enough. Because a lot of times prospects of his pedigree, they don't even go to AAA. They just jump right up and get in there. And I think that, you know, that's the only thing I can think of that's really potentially impactful right now for this team, other than the guys in the lineup doing what they're supposed to do, right? Like that's the real thing that needs to happen. But other than that, like Cags is going to be a better option than anything they can trade for.
I totally agree. I think that I would give really, really, really good odds that the Royals will not make a trade before, I don't know, July 1st.
Let's do it this way. Will the Royals make a trade before they call up Jack Caglione?
No, I don't think they will. I think that I think that that's the path. Because again, I'm not saying that. I do think having Caglione in the lineup and on the big league roster is a better option, number one. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a good idea to at least, you know, look around and be a buyer with other teams and talk trades and that sort of thing. I just think it's unlikely knowing JJ Piccolo. I know that he was active at the trade deadline and slightly before the trade deadline last year, but he seems like a very thoughtful guy and not a shoot from the hip and go and try to make a trade on May 19th type guy. I just don't see that happening. And so, I mean, take a look at somebody, and I just mentioned his name before, a guy like Cedric Mullins, who is a name in Major League Baseball. He's had a good career, you know, up to this point, has played pretty well for the Orioles. I think that, like, let's say that J.J. Piccolo goes crazy and decides to trade for him. I think that tells you a lot about what they feel like they've got this year, because Mullins is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Like, there is no control for him whatsoever after this season. You're basically acquiring a rental. That has really not been the J.J. Piccolo MO, because I think he knows who the Royals are. I think he knows that, you know, look, like, we've got to have homegrown talent, controllable talent, all of that. And that's another reason why a guy like Jack Caglione is a better option than going and trading for a big time, a big name player on another team right now.
He came up with Dayton Moore, though, and Dayton Moore wasn't afraid to do that, to push his chips in when they felt like they were really ready. So I look, I don't know. I just, like, for me, it's what player is going to be out there that is a sure thing. I don't know if it's going to be there. I think there are too many contenders. Like, it's just going to be difficult. Again, like, the thing that's got to happen is the team itself just has to get hot. I can't, like, it's impossible to imagine a world where that can't happen, because we saw it so often last year. It just hasn't happened through 50 games. I don't think this is ever going to be, outside of Caglione getting called up and immediately being impactful and, like, not needing any time to acclimate, which is unlikely, but possible. I don't think this becomes anything more than a league average offense. But how much would you take a league average offense right now? I mean, it would be like, it'd be like, oh, God, thank you, finally. Like, that'll be enough, because the pitching's so good and deep and everything else that it is. So we'll watch Cags in AAA now, like, with a microscope. What's his line tonight, right? Like, that's how we're going to have to treat this, because it's going to be the best option. It might be the only option. And the Royals, in the meantime, have a gauntlet of a schedule that's about to get underway that they're going to have to try to navigate. It'll be interesting to see what Cotrero can do. Again, like, mix up the lineup, do all these other little minor things we've talked about. Those don't solve the fundamental issue. The only thing that does that is, you know, Vinny and Salvi hit for some power. We've said it. We've mentioned it. I really, like, there's a decent chance Salvi doesn't feel 100% with his hip or whatever. But he was 2-for-4 yesterday. Good signs. And we look around the rest of the world of sports, and Max is our hockey aficionado here. So before we look at some of the other stuff, Max, hockey, where do we sit in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I saw that our Winnipeg Jets went down and our Toronto Maple Leafs went down. Well, so we're
at least
all
Winnipeg put up a
here.
Fight. They're going to break up. The Maple Leafs will be broken up. They have to. But the Jets,
well, listen,
the Jets game is good. They, you know, the first
that
goal
went to overtime, right?
Yeah, the first goal that tied it for when Dallas tied it. If the goalie was standing up, he would have hit him in the chest, but I'm sorry I gave you bad advice.
That's, Max, listen, don't be. It's fine. I will tell you, though, that I am obligated now, because a buddy became a rampant, in the middle of the season, Hurricanes fan for no reason. I'll tell you how that happened, and this is what I love about hockey. It was the USA-Canada rivalry series. What was that called? Whatever they called that. Frozen
Four Nation. Four Nation.
Whatever it was. Frozen Four. I don't know what it was called. Doesn't matter. Those games got him fired. He's like, that's it. I'm an NHL guy. I'm going to go find it a team. And he told everybody he's going to be a Hurricanes fan. So now I'm obligated to go for them and just pretend like I'm a Hurricanes fan. They'll play the Panthers, right? And Edmonton is Canada's last hope to break the streak against the Dallas Stars, a team I'm also fond of. So that'll be it. We'll see how that plays out this week.
Doesn't Max owe you a new driver now, because he?
Yeah, that's how that works, Max.
He gave you the advice for the Jets, and you took it, and now he's got to buy you a new driver,
or a used one, or not. I think I don't know that I can. Tommy, well, everybody, not just Tommy, makes fun of my driver, because it's, boy, I don't know when that thing came out. Probably 2007. It's one of the, you'll probably remember them too, if you've ever played golf. They're the square Nike drivers. Yeah. It sounds like a aluminum baseball bat.
Yeah. That's the thing that is most notable about it, is the sound it makes off of the ball hitting the club face, like the ding. It's interesting.
So doesn't it work anymore?
No, it works fine. I don't hit it as hard probably as I could if I got it, like all the new technology of a driver. But every time I play, I'm like, you know what? As I'm hitting from the fairway, because I can hit that club usually straight as an arrow, is me being 20 yards further down the fairway for my game right now as it currently stands really going to change all that much?
Yes, it
will. Eventually.
No, I think it will eventually. I think it will now. I think part of it too
A 6-iron doesn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, but part of it too is the fact that, you know, I'd say maybe 20% of the time. You tell me if my percentage is right here. 20% of the time you're hitting a range ball instead of hitting
20? No, just if there's water involved usually.
You do realize that those range balls are like distance limited. That's why they.
Yeah.
So
I only hit range balls if I'm hitting over water. That's it.
Right. But you're basically hitting a worse golf ball, not just in the way it looks, but in the performance of it. You're sacrificing your game when you do that.
I'm also potentially not sacrificing a ball. So when those are out, and listen, so this is at Crestview. Shout out to Crestview for being great supporters of the show. Like if we're on the north course, the range ball comes out a little more often because there's a whole lot more water in play than the south course. I'm on the south course. I rarely use them because I'm not hitting over water. I just get so aggravated when I hit into the water that I'm like, no, I'm not going to waste a good ball.
You're about one step away in the cheapskate factor.
He's there.
To where you're going to start like showering with your clothes on so you're also doing your laundry at the same time.
I'm going to help you, Jake.
You're right there.
I know my game. I don't want to lose nice balls.
Here's what you do. Instead of buying the driver, get those balls with the extra dimples, the illegal flight balls.
Yeah, you can do one of those.
There you go. No one's going to know.
Yeah.
Wait, what are they?
They have balls. Don't they have balls with extra dimples?
Oh, yeah.
They fly falls.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're illegal.
They're not
conforming. They don't fit in the rules of golf. But apparently they're supposed to fly farther. I would rather you use one of those than use a range ball, which looks real trashy. If I'm going
to
use a word,
slices
to me, I don't care. See, I don't give.
I know you don't care, but the rest of us that play golf with you do care.
Well, that's. I mean, listen, I tell my kids all the time, you can't control what other people think, so you just kind of don't have to worry about it. The thing in my game that got I got a 56 finally, and it's like made a huge impact. That's where like I get.
Wait, you
smashed.
Shot a 56? Oh, a 56 degree wedge. Okay.
Oh, I've shot lots of 56s. Yeah. Yes, lots of them. Not lately. Hey, I fired a 43 on the front nine of Crestview last week. Didn't have time to play the back nine, so we're just going to pretend that I would have shot a 43 then on the back nine to follow that up, and that would have been the best round.
How many times did the foot wedge come out in that nine holes?
That one, no. I haven't. Only thing I would have done is like a breakfast ball early because I didn't have time to warm up, and I think I hit one that way. But it wasn't. It was legit. I wouldn't have sent it to you if it was a foot wedge-driven, you know, score. That doesn't mean anything, and I won't follow it up with anything. We're just, you know, bits and pieces and drivers. Fine. I don't think that's going to be the thing that saves my game just yet, but I'll find one. I kind of like going out and playing golf with Tommy and embarrassing him with my aluminum bat driver and pulling out a range ball to hit over the water. So I don't lose my, my used ball I get from some academy or something. Like when I get good, I'll have nice things.
You
but
do.
Until then,
you
I'm not
do
recognize. Myself.
You do recognize, though, that you can get a box of really cheap golf balls that actually perform like normal. They're not range balls. You're like, I don't want to get rid of a nice golf ball. You can get like a Wilson golf ball or like a Max Fly or go get like the Kirkland Costco brand box of golf balls. Like those are all really cheap, and then you're not pulling out a range ball to hit during a, which by the way, when I've played golf with you before, if I actually cared about this as much as it, you know, I really don't, it's just more embarrassing than anything else. You would get penalized like multiple times. Like I would call penalties on you. You cannot switch out your ball in the middle of a hole like that. Like that's a 2-stroke penalty every time you do that in the rules of golf. I'm not calling you on it. Because we're just having fun.
Can't you putt with a different ball though?
I don't think you can switch out your golf ball at all in the middle of a hole, like unless you lose it, unless you genuinely cannot. Right, but you cannot pick up a golf ball in the middle of the fairway and drop a range ball down so you can hit it over water. That is against the rules of the game of golf.
Most of the time, it's off the tee. But yeah, I get you. I get you.
I'm going to look this up during the break. I actually think playing with a range ball in general is illegal.
I just have to finish with the range ball?
I think playing with a range ball in general is illegal, but I'm going to look it up.
Probably is. I'm probably going to get a call from Crespi like, hey, and no, I don't go take them. They're the ones that are like strays out in the middle of the course that I'm like, oh, hey, look, a range ball. I'll use this one to hit over that water. Speaking of golf, I don't think Scottie Scheffler is prone to need a range ball in his bag to hit over water. Did you think after the first couple of rounds there, Tommy, that Scotty was going to be in a position to win this one? Man, he shot up that leaderboard late. I kind of wasn't paying that much of. We saw Sam Stevens, of course, have a great Friday, and we're like, oh man, I wasn't really expecting that from Scotty, and he sure went and took it. And then, of course, on Sunday, he's just so smothering. Nobody can catch him when he's on like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of lingering in the leaderboard early in the day on Saturday. And then it was really the end of the round on Saturday, the end of the third round when he shot up the leaderboard. And all of a sudden, he enters into the final round on Sunday with, I think, a 3-stroke lead. It's almost kind of like what we talked about early in the show about the Royals are down 1-0 and you're like, man, they're not going to come back. That I felt that way about the rest of the field as soon as Scotty had a 3-stroke lead. Like, there you go. You know, like Scotty's going to win himself a third major and his first PGA championship. And it was a lot more interesting than that. I mean, there was a moment in time when John Rahm tied Scheffler. Yep. Scheffler didn't have a great front nine yesterday, and Rahm was kind of on fire. But then Rahm faded away and Bryson DeChambeau faded away and Scotty birdied a couple of holes on the back nine, and that was all she wrote. I think it solidifies Scotty as, you know, I'd say that there are probably three top golfers right now in the game of golf, and those three guys are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Bryson DeChambeau. Those three guys right now are the cream of the crop. You know, DeChambeau was in the final grouping at the Masters. He won the U.S. Open last year. He's been right there in the mix in major championships. We obviously know what Rory did at Augusta, and then Scotty wins himself another major. So it's really those three guys and then everybody else kind of looking up at them.
Scotty is above all of that. I was actually surprised that it's only three. He's 28, so he's, you know, he's not old at all. But I was surprised, like, it's only three. But he has so many wins. So we judge golf by majors and everything else. And yeah, like when I get it, like his greatness is that when he is in front, it feels impossible to catch him because he's not going to go out and bogey a bunch of holes. What are we putting like at it? Cause I think the vibe right now for him as a more casual observer for sure is that he's got the best chance to be like the next great one. We've had a lot of good ones, but he's got the chance to be the next great one, right? That we're talking about in that upper echelon that we really haven't had since Tiger. We thought it would be Rory, and then it kind of wasn't Rory. It feels like Scheffler's got the best shot of Jordan Spieth had a minute where we thought it was going to be Jordan Spieth. But is Scheffler, like, is he there yet for most, like, golf fans? And because to me, it feels like he is.
Yeah, he's there for sure. I mean, he's won two green jackets at Augusta and then obviously picks up the Wanamaker Trophy with the PGA Championship. No, he's there and he's got a lot of time left. I mean, he's 28, you know, he's in his 20s right. Still. He's younger than Rory. He's younger than Bryson, I believe, you know, so he's got time to do that for sure. You know, and I thought John Rahm, you know, remember, he's won a green jacket also.
He's former number one. Wasn't
former
he?
Number one. Like, he's before, probably before right, he's, kind of he's probably right there, too. I mean, he's probably fourth, you know, as far as top golfers in the world right now. So, no, I do think Scotty is there. He really had not played particularly well leading up to the PGA Championship. And I think there were some questions about whether or not he was going to be able to make it happen anytime soon. But he did. And he looked really good. And the thing about Scotty, we've talked about it before, is when he's under pressure, he just locks in and he doesn't make mistakes. He didn't have a great front nine, but when it mattered the most, the back nine on Sunday, he showed why he is the number one golfer in the world right now.
Shout out to Sam Stevens. Didn't finish the weekend strong, but boy, he had a good first couple of rounds. He continues to be a name this year on the tour. He's having a really, really good year. So, you know, we'll continue to watch him.
By the way, I looked it up. According to the USGA, if you use a different golf ball at any point during a hole that you play, that's a two-stroke penalty. So it does. You can pick
USGA
up your ball.
USGA rules.
But they govern. The, yeah, they govern the game of golf. Like they govern
I
all
play
of that.
By the
you you play by Jacob's rules of golf.
I play by farm boy rules. Yeah. That's what I play by. All right, we'll come back. Second hour of Sports Daily. Keep it here.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two. We'll get more into it here in this second hour. We'll get you caught up on the NBA playoffs. We'll get to those conference finals. We'll look ahead to this Giants series for the Royals, which could be a little trouble. Based on what we've been seeing lately, Tommy is. Tommy, I think you're barking up the wrong tree with this poll. I think most people are going to be with me on the not taking golf quite as seriously. Rick,
it's not taking golf super seriously. It's following the rules. It's like, you know, if you're going to
by switching balls, you think the majority of listeners out there are concerned when they play golf about using a different ball
when you're using a range ball? Yes. I
hit
do.
Over water. You act like I've got a bag full of range balls.
It's against the rules of the game.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes for you. Rick says you're good. We're not pros. I use cheap nitro
Great,
balls.
Rick. At least you're using an actual golf ball for the course. It'd be different if you're like, oh, I've got a bag full of range balls, and that's all I do to play.
I'm using a tennis ball out there. All right. We'll let that. Tommy's got a poll up, though. Is it fine, or should he be calling penalty strokes? If I use a range
and keep
ball
in mind,
over the
keep
water.
In mind, we've golfed multiple times and I've never called a penalty on you about it.
No, you haven't, because that would be the lamest thing ever. I've just played golf 1,000 times with 1,000 people.
Should I?
And I would say you're the only person who's ever even said anything about.
I'm not
that.
The only. I can't be the only person.
You're literally
that has
the
ever
only
said,
person.
Oh,
I've
you're
ever
literally picking up your golf ball in the middle of the fairway and you're dropping a range ball down. Like, that's against the rules of the game, against the spirit of the rules of the game.
I've never played with anybody who's ever said a word about anything like that. But let's see how the poll goes. So that's out there. Scheffler gets a win. Scheffler's got us thinking golf. That's what that's the beauty of Scottie Scheffler and what he could do again for the game. And I think Rory was the first one to do it post-Tiger. I think Jordan Spieth had a very, it feels like that was brief. Maybe it wasn't brief. You'd remember better than I would of like, could this be the guy? But Scotty's done it. Scotty's united us partly because of the year ago anniversary of the him getting arrested thing. I think that added to the lore a little bit, but I do think like pop culture golf, he's probably the most pop culture golf we've had. Maybe like the casual observer would be like, oh, what's Scotty doing? I think he's captured that part of like the general sports audience a little bit. I hope so, because I think that, you know, that's so great for the game of golf. So that's what has us talking golf here today. Let's talk a little bit, Tommy, about the NBA playoffs, because they're here. The Thunder, like that, we're kind of surprised, right, that series even got to seven games, but the Thunder take care of business. They win it big in game seven. Big. That game was never close. The Knicks took care of business. That's sort of how the weekend wrapped up. So now we have the conference finals. Thunder, T-Wolves. The Thunder open tomorrow night, game one, as 7.5-point favorites. And then in the East, it's Knicks, Pacers. The Knicks, 4-point favorites at home in that opener. I mean, there's not – now we're to the point – injuries aside, because they've been such a big part of this postseason, but – I mean, any combination here, nobody's going to be surprised, right? This should be a great conference finals. Like, you've got Knicks fans all over the world that are like, could this be the one? And the answer is like, yeah, it could be. Like, it really could be now. You've got the upstart. Are the Pacers upstarts? They're probably a little
bit
of upstarts.
I'd call them
that. The Timberwolves are not, even though they're like a 6 seed. I think everybody thought the Timberwolves had this in them. And then, of course, the Thunder have been the best team all year. I like it. I think this will be a fun fun conference finals here.
I know Minnesota will have something to say about this, but I still think that there's a reason why the Thunder are the top team as far as odds are concerned to win the NBA Finals. I think that they will win the Western Conference Finals. I think that it doesn't matter if it's the Knicks or the Pacers. I think that they'll beat them in the NBA Finals, and I think we're on pace, we're on track for an Oklahoma City championship. And again, I think the T-Wolves probably have something to say about that. Anthony Edwards probably has something to say about that. But just in the way that Oklahoma City dismantled Denver yesterday, I know it took seven games, and there's a part of me where I'm like, what took you so long to be able to do that? Because that's what we've wanted to see from the Thunder all along in the semifinals. But they looked every bit of the top team in the NBA yesterday in the way that they took down Jokic and the entire crew there from Denver.
Okay, so they are pretty heavy favorites, right? They're minus 175. The Knicks are plus 450. The T-Wolves are 6-1, and the Pacers are 8-1. That's telling there. I think, you know, Vegas obviously thinks the Thunder are for reals. I think of any of those like bets, probably the T-Wolves would be the bet at 6-1. I think their odds are a little inflated because they would obviously have to get through the Thunder to get there. But I do think in a finals, they'd be favored over either of those Eastern Conference teams. Just a guess on my part, though. So, yeah, they're the favorite. I think what's interesting about the Thunder to me is if the Thunder are able to get this done, what does that mean long term for the league? Because the Thunder, like the T-Wolves have the best player, right? They've got Anthony Edwards. He is making a case to be the best player in basketball this year. And then you've got the Thunder, who have this insane depth. They have so many good players, all these young players. Like they sort of, you know, they have it all. And yes, they have their star in SGA too, but they have a lot of star power.
They're
right?
Very
balanced.
They've
got a lot of guys that can come at you and do this stuff with a roster that like doesn't feel like it's going anywhere anytime soon. So if they're able to get through and get it done this year, what does it mean? We wondered the same thing about Denver, and they haven't been able to get back there. We wondered the same thing about Milwaukee, and they hadn't been able to get back there. But the Thunder do feel a little different than both of those teams to me because they have so much depth, right? They don't have the SGA is great. They don't have that, but you know, I think there could be some staying power.
They're very balanced. I loved their game plan in Game 7 yesterday, and Alex Caruso defensively, by the way, was phenomenal. And he jumped all over Jokic, and he's got, I mean, there's quite a decent size disparity between Jokic and Caruso. It was almost kind of like Caruso was like that annoying fly that was like buzzing around Jokic's head, and Jokic had to keep like trying to swat him away. But he really disrupted what Jokic wanted to do in the game. And the game plan for Oklahoma City was basically throw everything they could in the kitchen sink at Nikola Jokic and then let a hobbled Aaron Gordon try to beat them. And Gordon wasn't able to do that. And Michael Porter Jr. didn't contribute. Christian Brown didn't really do a whole lot in the game. And they threw the kitchen sink at Jokic, and it worked. That was a great strategy, I thought, from the Thunder. And I think that going into the game, most people thought, okay, they're going to go right after Aaron Gordon because he's hurt. And they really didn't do that. They're like, you know what, Gordon, like, go prove it. Like, if you're able to play on that bad leg, go and prove it, and we're going to put our resources elsewhere. And it ended up working in a large way for the Thunder.
I've always said this. One of the reasons I think college basketball is, to me, has become like a great experience is because it's so much easier to understand the nuance of each individual game in the NBA. Like, you hear former players talk about this, and I believe it 1,000%. Like it's next level. Like a lot, like for me, the nuance in a game isn't quite as crystal clear. And so, yeah, like when you get really great coaching, it's harder to see it. Like, you know, Popovich did it forever. I think Spoelstra in Miami never gets enough credit for how great, like when you see it, it's crazy to see it. And yes, the Thunder are doing that. And that's part of their depth, I think. Like, I think it's because they can be so versatile that they can do 1,000 different things in these games. Yes, oftentimes in the NBA, it becomes like a 3-point chuck fest. And I don't like that, but that's basketball in general. But yeah, I think I agree with you on everything you just said about that game. And I can't wait to see the next series because I think you've got great teams. I think you have young ascending teams all the way across the board here with stars that we are, you know, getting accustomed to now in the league. And that's also a really good thing. And we've had this for a while in the NBA. The NBA has been on a heater as far as like spreading the wealth and having this each year in, year out. We haven't had a dynasty in a while, and not since the Warriors. I mean, it's been a long time now since we've had a consistent, you know, dynastic presence in the NBA. And I don't know if that's good for the ratings, but for me, I think it makes the league more fun.
Yeah, I think it does too. I mean, yeah, because it became a foregone conclusion every year, it seemed like, for what, 4 or 5 years, that it was the Warriors. And good luck to anybody else that wants to try to do anything to dethrone them. And now it's a lot more, the parity is there for sure. You've got a lot more competition, which does make it more interesting. I do think it's interesting that in the clinching games, in a couple of them at least, like it was just a throttling. Like, Oklahoma City completely beating up on Denver, and the Knicks really beating up on the Celtics. Obviously, the Celtics had a bunch of injuries and all of that, but we in the deciding games, we really haven't seen a whole lot of like nail biters.
Yeah, no, and that's not just in these recent series, but you know, all the way through, it's been really good. It's been really good. It's been a fun postseason. Hopefully, that continues, and we get great conference finals here into an NBA finals where we learn a lot about some young ascending teams. And you know, I can't help but be happy for Knicks fans here. They've waited a long time for this, and they have a real shot. And that is, to me, that's always been a really fun and cool fan base. So good luck to all of them. If you're a Rogue fan of any of these teams, I think we'll have more Thunder fans than any other. Our guy Brandon Zinner, big T-Wolves fan. Like, there'll be lots of he'll be on with you this week, next week during that series. So that'll be fun to get his take on. We'll come back. When we come back, let's look at this. Let's look at this giant series for the Royals. We'll go back to baseball here. I don't know if you've looked like the starting pitching they're going up against in this series is good. So we may be in for some more low scoring games. We'll be back with that on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Take it easy with going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. It is getting to be iced tea season, that's for sure. And you can win a free cup on us here at Sports Daily. These will be good for East or West Wichita or down in Derby. All you got to do to win a free cup of tea is text the keyword tea. That's TEA to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. You can go inside, try them all for free, find out what you like, and then grab that free cup of tea on us. That's T 20357. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back in here to Sports Daily. We'll go back to the Royals here. So we went back through sort of the St. Louis series. Now let's kind of look forward a little bit on the schedule. The Royals have lost 6 of 9 here, which is basically they've lost each of the last three series. They've won one game in each of those series. Now they face the Giants, who are pretty good this year. They'll face Minnesota up next. So you've got the Giants, who are one of the better teams in baseball. When I say they're pretty good by run differential, by record, however you want to look at it, they're playing an insane division right now, but they're really good. You're going to their place and you're playing against three great starting pitchers. So you have that. Then you have Minnesota, who we've well documented has been absolutely on fire, hottest team any team has been in baseball all year long. So that's also on the schedule then. So that's the next week here, Tommy. And then after that, and they're not even, remember, like June is the one where it starts to get, and all these games are on the road this week, by the way. They get a day off on Thursday. Then they go back home to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a lot of good young talent there. Terry Francona, they're 500 team. Okay. Then after that, it's Detroit, who again, right now, is the best team in baseball. That's how you finish the month of May. All teams above 500. All teams are at or above 500. Two of those teams are two of the three or four best teams in baseball right now. There are a lot of terms for this. Some of them aren't appropriate for radio, but it is time to get after it. We'll leave it in that one. For the Royals, like this is a part of the problem that's like there's just not ever going to be true schedule relief. They've already done that, and they've passed it with flying colors, right? They won, 16 out of 20, whatever it was. Like they stomped that part of their schedule. That's in the past now. It's not there anymore, and I don't think it's going to be. If you look through the rest of the season, they're not going to have a 20-game stretch like that where it's just great opponent after great opponent. It doesn't exist again on the schedule the rest of the year.
The good news with the Giants series, at least here in the short term, is that even though they're going up against three really good pitchers for the Giants, you've got Bubich and you've got Lorenzen on the bump Monday and Tuesday, and Bubich has been phenomenal. And I know it looks like it's going to be him and Robbie Ray tonight squaring off. That's a matchup I want to watch because, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me whatsoever if we have another 0-0 game going into the seventh or something. You know what I mean? Right. So I do think that is a silver lining for the Royals going into this series. And with Lorenzen, who's your, by default, your fifth starter in the rotation, he's been really good this year too. And he's probably going up against the weakest of the three Giants pitchers in this series and Hayden Birdsong tomorrow night. And so I think there are a couple of silver linings there for the Royals, at least in the first two games of the series. My big question mark is, what are they going to do in the finale on Wednesday afternoon? Could it be a bullpen game? Could we see an opener? Could we see Noah Cameron move up, a day in the rotation and try to go on short rest? I mean, there are a couple of different scenarios that they could potentially look at for Wednesday's game.
I think it'll probably be a bullpen game. Is Avila, is he a starter?
I don't see anything about that. I don't even see his name anywhere. They called up Evan Sisk when they put Reagans on the IL. It was the reliever Evan Sisk that came up to be on the team on the big league roster. And so I don't know who Avila is. I don't even see him on their roster anywhere.
Well, he's a listed starter on a site. Let me see if the Royals have even on their own site. Yeah, they have not listed a starter. Maybe it's Sisk. Who know? I don't know. Maybe it's Avila. He's very young, 23, this year in the minors. Like, he has been fine. He's been in Omaha.
Luinder Avila, is that who you're Avila? Is that who you're looking at from Omaha?
Yeah, Luinder Avila.
Okay, I don't see any. I don't see the Royals. They didn't call him up. They called up Evan Sisk. Evan Sisk is on. I don't know where you're seeing
starter,
that.
Then.
Okay. I have no idea.
Somebody's
wrong. He's still in Omaha. Evan Sisk was the guy that they called.
I don't know why he's being projected a starter on CBS Sports, because the Royals don't have a listed starter yet. So either way, it's not going to. I mean, maybe somebody pitches like Cameron, but you're right. That's going to be the spot there that you feel like the offense is going to have to step it up. And that's the best pitcher probably that they'll face. Logan Webb's very good. So
they could also decide that it could be Daniel Lynch, you know, potentially getting the start. They're not going to call anybody else up because their roster is full at this point with the addition of Evan Sisk, and he's a reliever. If they wanted to bring up another starter, they would have done that as opposed to Sisk calling him up. So it's somebody who's currently on the roster is going to start this game on Wednesday, whether that is a bullpen game with an opener, whether that is Daniel Lynch trying to go, whether that is moving up Noah Cameron a day. Like, there are a couple of different options, but it's going to be somebody who's already in house.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That was looking at the wrong place, I guess, for that information on my part. Either way in this series, the offense is going to be at a premium. Hopefully both directions, because the Giants have actually been very good offensively this year. They are, you know, a little above league average offensively. And of course their pitching is very good, as it typically is. So can the Royals match it at some point with all the concern that we've talked about? And yes, we're 50 games into the season. And yes, it's a long-term concern that I don't think is going to just solve itself completely. At some point, they will be better than they've been. I still do believe that. I just don't think that's going to be enough still internally. But I do think at some point it'll be better. Could happen at any point, right? Like, stuff like that, like all of a sudden a switch could flip. But this isn't good timing for it, because the Giants can really, really pitch. Daniel Lynch, boy, if they start him, I kind of, again, like, I hope it's maybe a 2 or 3 inning situation in a part of a bullpen game. Because I do think, big picture again, like, he's too valuable right now in the role he's in. If he continues and does this all year, next year when they probably lose some pitchers to free agency, stretch him out and make him a starter like you did with Bubic this year at that point. That would be preferred for me. Now, if any of these injuries are long-term, which we don't think that they are, then I think you can start to think about that. But even then, are you going to let him do it at the big league level, or are they going to have to send him down and let him stretch out? Like, that'll be tricky.
Well, here's the other good thing about this game on Wednesday, the finale of the Giants series, is they do get a day off on Thursday. So you can go Bubic on Monday, Lorenzen on Tuesday, and then you can deploy a bunch of relievers potentially on Wednesday in that finale, because they do have a day off on Thursday before you start the weekend series in Minnesota. So you're not up against it to where you've got to try to save pitchers and, you know, limit pitch counts and usage and that sort of thing, because they do have that travel day, that day off on Thursday to get a little bit of rest. And I do think that that's important and probably will play into what kind of strategy they do on Wednesday. If I'm a betting man right now, I would think that they would probably go some kind of bullpen game and just try to stretch it out among, I don't know, 4 or 5 different pitchers on that Wednesday, take the day off on Thursday, then have your best chance at a good rotation going into the weekend series in Minnesota.
It does feel a little pressure heavy tonight with Bubic on the mound, though, and as good as he's been to kind of get that win tonight. These are, by the way, these are very late starts. They're like 8:45 starts here locally for us, just so you're aware. The day off thing is interesting looking at it. I don't think they play a 4-game series again until late June, which means they'll get a day off every week basically for the next month and a half. That's handy probably for them right now. That's probably a pretty good news for them. So the other big news over the weekend for the Royals that we're closely watching is Jack Caglione was called up to AAA. The pipe dream that he might appear in Wichita is officially dead. We probably knew that was dead about a week into the season, or even before the season started, but he's not going to be in AA late enough in the year, obviously, for him to come to Wichita. So sorry, Wind Surge fans and Royals fans here in town. But he's up at AAA now. This is the path Bobby Witt Jr. took. I don't recall when Bobby Witt Jr. got called up the year before he was a major leaguer and how much time he spent in AAA, but that was the path for Bobby Witt Jr. too. Some teams skip AAA. The Royals usually don't because Omaha's right down the street from Kansas City. It's probably easier logistically. And Cags is an advanced hitter anyway, you know, as a college hitter. So getting in there against more grizzled veteran AAA pitching is probably a good thing. So this year for Cags, let's just go back now, because last year he jumped into high A out of college essentially and wasn't great in 30 games, which is not that big a deal. And then he starts the year this year at Northwest Arkansas. And so he hasn't been in the minor leagues. Remember, he was playing college baseball last year. So now he has come in. He's played 40 games, 38. And he's killing it, right? He's got an OPS just under 950. He's getting on base in an incredible clip, which means he is walking. Tommy, his walk to strikeout ratio is pretty good. It's about 2-to-1 strikeouts to walks, which I think, you know, that's always a concern for younger players. And he obviously is hitting for a lot of power. He's got 9 home runs, 43 RBIs. He just is doing all the things that the Royals lack so desperately. He does those things. And that's why it's always been such a natural, like, well, you've got this top prospect in all of baseball who's past AA with flying colors. Like, at what point? I think, listen, I'll be honest. I think the days of worrying about being blocked at first base are long gone. I think when he's ready to hit, if he does this for 2-3 weeks in AAA at the same pace, if he gets 20 games down there and he just continues, I think you got to move him up and you just don't worry about, you know, what's going on elsewhere at the position, because they just have to have somebody there and you'll figure out the other guys can find somewhere else to play.
One of the things that I actually really like about the timing of Cags coming up to AAA is that he'll join Omaha when they're on the road. They don't play at home until the day after Memorial Day. So we're talking a week from tomorrow. They're on a road trip this entire time. I actually kind of like that because he can get accustomed to AAA pitching on the road. And I mean, you can imagine what the crowds are going to be like in Omaha. Like, they've been waiting on Cags to, you know, and probably a lot of them wondering if he would even make a stop in Omaha at all, or just completely bypass the Storm Chasers and go directly to the Royals. But he'll play for Omaha, but at least he gets a few games to get under his belt before he goes and plays at home a little bit. I do like that, as opposed to throwing him right into the fire in front of the home fans in Omaha. He can get accustomed to that a little bit. So I do like that strategy a lot.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's not in Omaha a very long time. I mean,
I wouldn't either.
I think it's probably a few weeks. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we're talking Cags making his major league debut middle of June, probably. That's kind of where I'm targeting right now in my mind. If he can continue to show the development, and if he hits the way, anywhere close to the way that he hit in AA. I mean, he had an OPS at almost 1, right? And so, I mean, it's huge. If he can do even a shred of that in AAA, I think we're going to see him called up to the bigs sooner rather than later.
Because at the big league level, and I agree, and I think it's been amplified, I think that call up tells us they're amplifying things with him. I don't, otherwise they just didn't need to do that yet. And so, yes, I agree. I think we're seeing him on a fast track. What watch for one thing though, watch where he plays positionally. If he's still only playing first base in Omaha, he's probably going to just be a first baseman, and we can count out the possibility of him sliding into a corner outfield spot. So we'll watch that too. But yes, like the thing is, for what he's doing right now, like, what would you need him to realistically do to help this big league club? And it's not to come up and do what he's doing in AA. You can take that, like, that expectation can go somewhere else. That would be his expectation in a couple of years after some big league seasoning. Right now, though, if he can just come up and be a 260 hitter with some pop, that is an immediate upgrade to the big league club, right? So if he is significantly worse than the way he than what he is doing right now in the minor leagues, and this is why I think AAA will be a good spot for him. I agree. If he can continue what he did in AA and AAA for the most part, they don't need the Royals are so desperate for offense right now. He can come up and see his batting average drop 60 points from what it is in the minor leagues. And it will be a significant upgrade right now for this offense, as long as he's still hitting for power. And he almost certainly will still be hitting for power, right? It's just how often is he hitting for power? He's not going to come up to the big leagues and not be able to hit for power. That won't happen. It's just like, how often can he effectively hit for power? He's always going to hit for power. And they just don't have any of that. Vinny's not a power hitter. Like, Vinny, I don't know, has ever been on pace or projected for more than about 20 to 25 home runs a year. Like, he's not, like, he looks like one, but that's not his game. Salvi is, but doesn't look right now. And obviously Bobby Witt Jr. is, but that's it really on the roster. Like, that, those are the only guys that are that. And so he comes up potentially and fills such a drastic need for this team, who's DAL in home runs and probably will be regardless of any move they make this year. Partly because of the park they play in, obviously, but partly because that's just not how they're built. They just don't have a lot of power in the lineup. And it's been a problem for them because they can't drive any runs in.
Yeah, they need Cags to do one thing and one thing only.
One thing.
Driving runs. That's literally
one out of every four at-bats. Can you hit the ball with some emphasis, please?
And I don't particularly care how he's driving in runs. I don't care if he's a doubles machine. I don't care if he's smacking home runs out of the park.
Irrelevant.
But the fact that he has consistently shown that he hits the ball so hard, like on the screws, I mean, I think that it's a foregone conclusion that if he can continue, again, even a shred of that at the big league level, it's going to be a success for the Royals. I think, I know we got hung up for a while on what position is he going to play and is it going to be blocked and all of that. And I think for good reason, long term, that's been the conversation. But right away, I think you have to throw all of that out the window and just know you need him to do one thing if you are the Royals, and that is to drive in runs and stop leaving runners stranded, to stop, you know, getting into a situation where they cannot drive in runs to win ball games. The nice thing about Cags also is that when he inevitably gets promoted to the big league level, he'll also know what his role is. Maybe not in the field, but he'll know, he should know at least, they need me to do one thing, and that is to drive in runs, and that's what I'm going to do.
All right, let's get everybody updated. This golf ball, sometimes content falls into your lap, Tom, and this range ball over water content's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of comments from people. I don't think the poll is going particularly well for you. 90% of the respondents, only like 10 people, are on my side here. So, several people have brought it up, though. Like, if there's money on the line, you can't do that. I completely agree.
But like, we play for money. Like, we've played for
And when we played most recently, I didn't pull a range ball out when we were doing that.
Okay, good. I do agree with that. And I think that's the important caveat. There have been several people.
And for me, like, that's honestly, like, if I'm playing golf, and like we're doing that, like if we're actually playing golf and we're doing, like, I don't get out a foot wedge. I have to ask some of the rules because I'm not completely aware. Like, where's the drop? What does it mean? Like, how do I, like, yes, if I'm in a scramble, like if there are any circumstances where this needs to be an official score, yeah, I'm going to do whatever needs to be. I don't know all those rules, but I ask every time. But no, when I'm just out 90% of the time, and I don't want to lose a ball, yeah, I'm going to pull out my range ball and I'm going to hit it over water so that I don't lose a ball. That's it for me. I don't have any shame in that.
Yeah, and look, like I do think that, and we didn't talk about it when we put this poll together. You know, we were discussing it earlier in the hour. I do agree with that. I mean, like, if we're just out there having fun and, like, do whatever you want, like, give yourself a better lie, swap out a ball if you – I mean, honestly, I don't care. But I do agree. Like, if we've even got $5 on the line, okay, yeah, at that point, like,
let's, if it's a beer, I don't care what it is. Like, yeah, we gotta. Now, I might, something I do, and tell me if you ever do this. Something I like to do, like if I'm playing by myself and I'm playing nine holes, like, and I'm flying, or if I'm kind of stuck behind somebody, which is totally okay, by the way, because I'm playing by myself, I might hit two balls from every spot. just to give myself more practice. Is that a phobia?
If you're, wonder, if like, you're playing by yourself and you're just having a good time doing it, there's no issue. I've done that before. Like, hey, I'm just going to go get some practice in on the course and I'm going to hit a few different balls from different areas. And I mean,
yeah,
like,
I just
even
hit two from every spot.
Here's a good example of that. I know, like, when even PGA Tour golfers are playing practice rounds, they'll go work. I mean, they'll get on the green and they'll go putt multiple times just to get a good feel of the course and of the green. Like, that's okay. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But like, if you and I were going out and we're playing for $5 or a beer, you know, after the round, at that point, I'm not going to hit multiple balls, you know?
No. I'm not either. And I don't even care if it's like, we're just keeping score to see who wins, even if there's not a wager there. Like, if there is anything competitive in it, I can't.
The exception to that would be like hitting a provisional. Like, I'm, you know, the ball may have went out of bounds. I'm not sure. I'm going to hit a second one just to be safe and make sure. Like, that's totally well within the rules.
You go find the first and you hit the first. Yeah. Well, that just saves time, right? We're all trying to not clog up a golf course. But anyway, we're getting out there. I think we're going to try to, we're going to have some bragging rights. I don't know how we'll split this up, but friends of the, you know, show and host of the show from time to time, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland. We're going to try and get out and play with them this week.
We do, and apparently, according to Max, we have some audio that I think reflects you on the golf course that he would like to share with everybody.
Yeah.
Don't count that. Shit. I was interfered with.
Yes, sir.
By the way, what did Mr. Webb shoot this morning?
Well, he doesn't keep score, sir.
Yes, I know, but just guess. 80, 75?
More like 68, I think.
I mean, that does seem pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Max, what did you say before you hit six right down
three? Yell four. Shoot 10 right down three.
Yeah. I don't care enough to need to win that bad. I just want my game to be better. Like, that's legitimately, and I don't want to spend a fortune on golf balls either. Jason says, not going to lie, I have no idea what a foot wedge is. Jason, that's when you don't like where it is. You just kick it where you want it.
You kick it. It's one step away from picking your ball up and throwing it down the fairway.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm in the thick rough. There's a 0% chance I'm hitting this ball more than 6 inches. I'm going to kick it out into a better lie. That's a foot wedge. That's why, when we're like, oh man, what was your score? Like, any foot wedge? Like, was that a real score or did you, you know? And so that's what a foot wedge is.
I actually on Saturday played the best round of the year, went out to Crestview, actually took my son out and he's almost four and he hung throughout the entire 18 hole stretch with me. And you know, he would make some swings and hit the ball a few times. He might be my good luck charm because it was the best round I've played all year long.
I played the best nine with my oldest daughter. She came out with me. Whatever. I don't know what night it was. So yeah, maybe our kids are a good luck charm. I'm glad the sun's out later because I'm going to play more like twilight golf now when school gets out. That's coming.
Yeah. I appreciate everybody. By the way, I'm clearly losing this poll, but that's okay. Yeah. Like I didn't put the clarification of if we're playing for money, like if we're actually playing competitively. Cause I do agree with that. If we're just out there screwing around and having fun, you could do whatever you want. And it doesn't bother me, and I'm never going to call a penalty on you, whatever. But as soon as we're playing for something, absolutely, you know, yeah, like at that point, we gotta take it seriously.
I agree with that, and I do the best that I can, unless I don't rule. Even in scrambles, I don't. Unless I mean, I suppose if you're just going to be in like last place, then who cares? Which is in play for me sometimes. All right, so we got the Royals tonight. We don't have. I don't think we have. Do we have hockey tonight, Max? I don't think we do, and I don't think we have NBA tonight either. Do we have any hockey tonight? Do we get at least a little something?
No, not yet.
Man, we got
Wednesday.
A night off from playoff action and a late night for Royals. So that middle ground, I guess, you know, figure out something to do, but that's coming for you. We talked about Scottie Scheffler. Did you catch any? We didn't, and we'll spend just a couple minutes. Did you catch any of the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese.
I mean, I read about it. I don't particularly care.
It was good. You know, it was Caitlin Clark giving a little back. The WNBA's got to milk it. They let that rivalry breathe. Let that rivalry like carry the sport into new frontiers. We get it right away. And we get Caitlin Clark a little spicy in there. She kind of went in for a hard foul. It was pretty good. I liked it.
By the way, one other quick note, totally different topic that we haven't mentioned yet. Shocker Baseball does get to play in the conference tournament. They were at risk of missing the conference tournament entirely.
It starts tomorrow, by the way.
But they had a good ending to the conference regular season, and they'll head to Clearwater, Florida, with as the seventh seed in the 18 tournament.
How many times have we said too? Like, remember last year they just kind of caught fire right there at the end. Yep. This was a team on paper that was picked second in the league. So we will certainly be watching. That starts tomorrow, and we'll have more on that tomorrow. Speaking of the Shockers, and tomorrow, we have Paul Mills joining us. Let me check the time on that. I believe it's, early. So 7:15, and I figured it would be early. But they are now allowed, basically, to talk about all these players. He's having a bigger media availability later in the day, so glad he's going to hop on here with us in the morning. And we'll just chat about some of these players. I'm real curious to see like the strategy behind it, right? Like the players are the players, but was it intentional to go and design things through what appears to be defense first? And like, just, I'm just so fascinated by the process now of like, how does this work? I'm fascinated to hear what it's like on the recruiting trail, recruiting for the Shockers right now, what it's like with the NIL resources right now. Like all of that stuff's going to be really interesting to hear from Coach Mills tomorrow. So that'll be at 7:15 tomorrow morning. So make sure you're in for that. Shocker fans, if you can't be there, if you miss it, of course, you can always find it on the Odyssey app as you can. All our stuff. We'll have Felix Johnson in tomorrow as well. Talk a little NFL. It's been moderately quiet since the NFL schedule released. Not a lot of news. What's the next big calendar event?
What probably OTAs at this point?
Yeah, I guess. Brock Purdy signed a deal. You spend 1 minute on that. We might talk about this more tomorrow, but Brock Purdy got his deal. 5 years, $100 million guaranteed, $265 million. That puts him at about, $50 million a year, but the $100 million. He's seventh at the position by his contract right now. Dak, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, all higher. Honestly, I would say that's a pretty job well done on both sides there. That feels about right, doesn't it? For what he's accomplished, like that feels about right.
And he's got a full no trade clause, so he gets to basically control his future.
I mean, would you rather have him at that contract or Dak at his, Trevor Lawrence for his, Jordan Love at his, Tua Tagovailoa?
I'd rather have Brock Purdy. I'd rather have Purdy at his.
I think both sides did a really nice job there. All right, that'll do it for us on a Monday. Again, stay weather aware out there, everybody. Keep an eye on things. Tomorrow, we've got Paul Mills bright and early. So make sure you're tuned in early and ready to roll here with us on Sports Daily as well. We'll have Felix Johnson tomorrow, too. Late baseball for the Royals tonight. Tommy, we'll see you Tuesday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be, you get the coffee on bright and early tomorrow morning, but looking forward to it.
That's right. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. See you then.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.